The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Today on Ring of Truth with Pastor Dan Sexton.
Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. It's righteousness that exalts a nation, but you could use the laws or use power to go after the righteous, go after the innocent, to try to destroy them. And a nation that destroys the innocent and destroys the righteous is a nation that is in trouble.
Does it sometimes feel like those who do evil in our world are either celebrated or given a pass? In today's message, Pastor Dan will teach on God's law given in Exodus and how it rewarded the righteous. What a concept. Living righteously is the best standard for a government. We know that our calling as a Christ follower will always trump our status as a citizen of this world. What is your guide for righteous living? The Lord gave His Word as the perfect roadmap for life, now and eternal. Now here's Pastor Dan in the book of Romans chapter 12 for today's edition of Ring of Truth.
Pay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. If it is possible, as much as depends on you, you live peaceably with all men. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. The Lord will deal with that person that hates you. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him a drink. Hey, you want something to drink? For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. He says, for in so doing, by showing goodness and kindness to your enemy or to those who hate you, he says, you heap coals of fire on his head. Now, what does that mean? Well, I'll tell you, it doesn't mean like you're going to singe their hair, right? Like now they're really going to suffer here, because I'm going to show so much kindness to them that it's just going to tear them apart inside. That's not the point of it. No, what he's saying here is you're going to heap coals of fire on his head. In the Old Testament, God is represented by fire. For example, in the burning bush, he's described as a consuming fire. And so by showing kindness to your enemy in this way, what are you doing? You're bringing God into the midst of that broken relationship. And now maybe God can use your kindness to bring the two of you back into a right relationship. Because you saw his ox going astray and you brought it back to his house and you showed kindness to him, or you saw his donkey under a burden and you stopped and you helped the guy get his donkey up off the ground. Maybe God now can restore your relationship through that. Now you're bringing God into that relationship and you're bringing the gospel into that relationship. How so? Well, the Bible says that you and I, we were once enemies of God. Colossians chapter 1, verse 21 says that we were alienated from God and we were enemies of God by our wicked works. And some of us in this room, even at one time in our lives, before we were Christians, we hated God. And the Bible says that we, like that ox, like that donkey, we were going astray from God. Isaiah 53 says, like, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've all turned to our own way. and we were under the burden of our sin, falling down, helpless, under the weight of our sin. And Jesus didn't just watch from heaven. Jesus didn't just take his phone out and start filming and saying, look at this guy. Look at what's happening to him. He didn't act like he didn't notice our situation and ignore us or try to hide from us. No, what did he do? Jesus left heaven. He humbled himself and he came down to this earth and he became a man and he dwelt among us. He took on human flesh. Why did he do that? To rescue us. And Jesus took our burdens that was weighing us down, that made us helpless and hopeless. He took our burdens from us and paid for them, dying for us on the cross for our sins, lifting the weight of sin, lifting the weight of guilt and shame off of us, putting it on himself. And so when you do that to your enemy, or you do that to someone who hates you, you're acting like Jesus Christ. You're acting the way that Jesus acted towards you. Right? The Bible says when we were without strength, Christ died for us. When we were just under the weight of our sin and helpless, Christ died for us. Now, look back at the passage here. Go back with me. Chapter 23 of Exodus. Look at verse 6. Verse 6 says, "You shall not pervert the judgment of your poor in his dispute." Now, this is the flip side of verse 3. Back up in verse 3, it says, "You shall not show partiality to a poor man in his dispute." The flip side of this is, don't deny justice to the poor just because they're poor. So don't give them special treatment because they're poor. And at the same time, don't deny justice to the poor because they're poor and powerless. Verse 7, "Keep yourself far from a false matter." What great advice this is in this chapter. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Don't get involved. Avoid it. Please note the word "far" in that verse. Did you see how I emphasized the word "far" when I read that verse? Keep yourself far from a false matter. Get as far away from it as you can and stay away from it. Don't get involved in it. Even if people are enticing you to get involved in it or asking you, well, what is your opinion about this? Or what do you think about this? Or if it's a false matter, I don't want to get tangled up in it. I want to stay far away from it. You know, in Romans chapter 16, verse 19, it says, "Be wise in what is good and innocent concerning evil." Just innocent concerning evil. Keep yourself far from a false matter. Do not kill the innocent and righteous, for I will not justify the wicked. Do not kill the innocent and the righteous. Again, these are laws specifically for the nation of Israel, but they have application for us. Don't pervert justice against the innocent and the righteous. Those that are innocent of doing anything wrong or those that have done right, don't use power against them to try to destroy the innocent and destroy the righteous. If you kill the innocent and the righteous, what are you left with in a society? You are left with the guilty and the wicked in power. Proverbs chapter 14, verse 34 says, "Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people." It's righteousness that exalts a nation, but you could use the laws or use power to go after the righteous, go after the innocent, to try to destroy them. And a nation that destroys the innocent and destroys the righteous is a nation that is in trouble. In Isaiah chapter 5, verse 20, "Woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Woe to those people who call evil good and good evil," to those who go after the innocent or go after the righteous to try to destroy them. That is a nation that is in trouble. And so he goes on in verse 8, You shall take no bribe, for a bribe blinds the discerning and perverts the words of the righteous. Again, God's law that he gives, it's perfect, it's righteous, but if you are corrupt, you're going to corrupt a good thing. And here he's talking about leaders and judges who take bribes. If you have a leader or a judge who takes bribes, they will not judge or rule righteously. Taking the bribe will blind their judgment and their discernment. Also, you shall not oppress a stranger, for you know the heart of a stranger because you were strangers in the land of Egypt. So don't oppress any strangers or foreigners that are living in your land. He says, you know the heart of a stranger. Now, the word that he uses here, the Hebrew word for heart, it's not the usual word that's used in the Old Testament for heart. This word, it means life. And the idea here is you know what life is like for a stranger, a foreigner, who is oppressed by the nation that they're in. You know how that feels to be oppressed because you're a foreigner and you're powerless because you were oppressed in Egypt. So don't do that to other people. Don't do that to foreigners dwelling in your nation. Now we come to verse 10. And in verse 10, we have laws regarding the Sabbath year. Verse 10, 6 years, you shall sow your land and gather in its produce, but the seventh year, you shall let it rest and lie fallow, that the poor of your people may eat, and what they leave the beasts of the field may eat. In like manner, you shall do with your vineyard and with your olive grove. And so they are to farm their land for 6 years, and then allow the land to lie fallow and rest in the seventh year. And then they take the year off. Doesn't that sound great? Well, I think we got a little tiny taste of that with the shutdown with COVID, where we were all, you know, like you couldn't go to work, couldn't go to school. Everybody's just kind of at home for a few weeks or a couple months or whatever the case was for you. Right? You just kind of had, like, we're not doing anything. Can't go out, can't go to the restaurants, can't go to the store. We're just going to be at home together as a family. Well, every 7 years in Israel, they were supposed to do that and take a sabbatical year, just let their land rest, not farm, not work the land, not plant crops or anything like that. Just allow the land to rest and lie fallow.
We'll return to Pastor Dan's message in just a moment. First, Pastor Dan would like to tell you about the new Calvary Chapel Ellicott City app.
We recently launched an app for our church, and we're really excited about it. It's designed to keep you connected to our radio ministry, Ring of Truth, as well as to our church, Calvary Chapel. And get this, we have over 1,200 sermons on the app. The app is super convenient, it's easy to use, and allows you to listen to Bible studies anytime, anywhere. So download the app right now, search for Calvary Chapel Ellicott City in your app store, or just follow the links on our website at calvaryec.com.
What a great way to stay connected to Scripture. Now, back to today's message on Ring of Truth.
This is a law that was unique to Israel and the ancient world. There was no other ancient civilization that had a law like this. And today, of course, we understand the value of allowing farmland to rest and be replenished and replenish the nutrients and the soil. But the reason that God does it here, he tells us the reason that he commanded Israel to allow their land to lie fallow every seventh year was as a provision for the poor. Look at verse 11 again. That the poor of your people may eat. Now, farmers in Israel were not all on the same schedule with their fields. So, you know, every year there were some farmers in the land that it was the seventh year of farming for them. And so there was always fields lying fallow for the poor. God made a provision for the poor. God made a provision to provide for the poor of the nation. Here's the thing, as long as the poor were willing to work, they had to go themselves into the fallow fields and harvest food for themselves. No one did it for them. They didn't receive a free handout. Food was available for them, but they had to work for it to meet their own needs. You know, in the New Testament, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, or 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 10, it says, if anyone will not work, they will not eat. And that concept comes from this Old Testament law. If you don't work, you don't eat. Provision is made for the poor. Their needs can be met. No matter how poor they may be, they'll have plenty of food, but they have to do the work for themselves. So if you don't work, you don't eat. And so with God's law, please notice this, with God's law, this provision for the poor has this perfect balance of compassion and personal responsibility. Now, here's the thing. Israel, as a nation, never observed the Sabbath year. God says, I want you to take a year off. And Israel didn't. Every 7 years, I want you to take the year off. Work 6 years, take a year off. Work 6 years, take a year off. And Israel never allowed their land to go fallow and rest. They never took a year off. And when they went into captivity in Babylon, they were in captivity for 70 years. Now, why 70 years? Why not 62 years or 74 years or 38 years? Why 70 years? They were in captivity for 70 years because they dwelt in the promised land for 490 years and they never took a Sabbath. And God said, you owe me 70 years worth of Sabbaths. And so God collected on his 70 years worth of Sabbaths that he was owed. If you're taking notes, you can jot down 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. 2 Chronicles 36, 21. It says there that they went into captivity 70 years until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. Now, they went into captivity because they had forsaken God and turned to idols. That was the main reason. But the reason for the length of the captivity, 70 years, is because the land was, you know, needed 70 years worth of Sabbaths. And so they were in captivity for 70 years. In verse 12 now, the Sabbath week or the Sabbath day is repeated here. 6 days you shall do your work, and on the seventh day you shall rest, that your ox and your donkey may rest, and the son of your female servant and the stranger may be refreshed. And so you take a day of rest each week so that everybody in your household, including your livestock and your animals that you farm with, everybody will be refreshed. And in all that I have said to you, be circumspect, verse 13, and make no mention of the name of other gods, nor let it be heard from your mouth. He says, be circumspect. The idea here is keep your guard up or pay careful attention to these laws that I'm giving you. You know, we have a similar command in the New Testament in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Walk circumspectly. Pay attention to the world that you're living in. Pay attention to the things that are going on and going down around you. Walk circumspectly because the days are evil. Don't be as fools who are just blind to everything going on around them, completely unaware, but be wise and redeem the time you've been given because the days are evil. Here, God says in the Old Testament to Israel, you be circumspect. You pay careful attention to what I'm commanding you, what I'm saying to you. And look what he says again in verse 13. He says, don't mention the names of other gods. Don't learn about other gods or other religions or other philosophies. Don't study other religions or other gods just out of curiosity. I want to find out what they believe or how they worship their God and what they practice. Nope, don't do that. Don't do that. Listen, there is plenty for us to learn about the true and living God, Jesus Christ. And you can spend the rest of your life and eternity learning about him. and studying his word, which is a limitless well here. You can spend the rest of your life studying his book, the Bible. Don't learn about other gods or other religions or how they worship or anything like that. Now, going into verse 14. Are you guys with me? You still with me here? Verse 14. Now, he's going to tell us about the three annual feasts of Israel that they're to celebrate every year. And they are called feasts. They're celebrations. They're not a solemn, sad, serious events that are a real bummer. They're feasts. They're celebrations. We've got one feast in our culture, Thanksgiving. They had three. Three times a year, they gathered together to celebrate and to feast and eat a bunch of food and have a good time. So verse 14, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. You shall keep the feast of unleavened bread, which remember is connected to Passover. You shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded you at the time appointed in the month of Abib, which is in the spring, March, April. For in it you came out of Egypt. None shall appear before me empty. Verse 16, and the feast of harvest, the first fruits of your labor, which you have sown in the fields. That would be the feast of Pentecost, 50 days after Passover. And then verse 16 goes on, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you have gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field. That would be the feast of tabernacles that was in the fall, usually around October. And so you've got the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which is connected to Passover. That's when God delivered the children of Israel out of their bondage in Egypt, followed by the Feast of Harvest or Pentecost. That was when you had your first fruits, the first of your harvest from the field at the beginning of the season. It was a way of expressing gratitude to God for his provision and anticipation of his further provision for you. And then at the end of the season, in the fall, you've got the Feast of Ingathering, the Feast of Tabernacles, at the final harvest at the end of the season, where you celebrate God's blessing and how he has provided for you. And these three feasts, of course, find their ultimate fulfillment in Jesus Christ, right? He's the Passover lamb that was sacrificed for us to deliver us from our bondage to sin. Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit is poured out on the church. The church is born. 3,000 people are saved. That's the first fruits of salvation of those that would be saved. Tabernacles, the final ingathering, and the gathering is complete. Now look at the end of verse 15. None of you shall appear before me empty. Please note that in your Bible. None of you shall appear before me empty. Whenever we appear before the Lord, we should always appear before him with something to give. There are many people who come before the Lord, or they come to church wanting to get. Like, what do you have for me? What do you offer for me? What kind of programs do you have for me? How are you going to meet my needs? What do you have to offer for someone like me to meet my needs and my wants? That's really the wrong attitude to have. We should come ready to give.
He asked me how I know, and I say it rings truer than the finest crystal.
Thank you for spending a part of your day with us here at Ring of Truth. You've just heard a message from Pastor Dan Sexton in the book of Exodus. There's a lot we can learn from this and other books in the Bible. In fact, if you visit our website, calvaryec.com, you'll find a treasure trove of other messages, all neatly organized in a simple, straightforward manner. We encourage you to camp out here for a while and soak your spirit in the truth of God's Word. Is there anything you would like us to pray for? We'd love to intercede in prayer on your behalf. Please locate the prayer tab at the top of our homepage, calvaryec.com, and send in your prayer request through the form you find there. Don't forget to follow us on Facebook, too. We're also just a phone call away if you're not in Maryland. Call us at 410-491-4592. We'd love to hear what's going on in your life. Again, that's 410-491-4592. Would you consider supporting this ministry financially? If so, please visit calvaryec.com to learn how. We hope that today's teaching has been encouraging to your faith. Come back again next time for more in the book of Exodus. Until next time, we hope you have a blessed day and are reminded of the things learned today. This has been Ring of Truth.
I see the signs and I recognize the hands that craft and am. Well, I know because I know His voice, and it only takes willingness and a conscious choice. You need not guess, there's a ring of truth that is unmistakable, a knowing that you cannot find alone. And if you listen carefully, and sometimes even if you don't, you can hear the sound. Whoa. He asked me how I know, and I say it rings true.
Three-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.